And you can be turning to the 139th Psalm. This is going to be a little different this morning. When I began, and I'm still on comfort in our sovereign God, God's omnipresence. That is, God is always with us. And I'm actually going to go right back over what I said week before last. But there were certain, because of time, there were certain examples and illustrations of these things I didn't have time to give. So I'm basically going to go right back over it and then hit those illustrations that I didn't have time to give. But before I do, sometimes circumstances, I've been writing down these notes for weeks, if not months, and they're not all done yet. I mean, I'm not even finished with everything yet. But I've been writing these down for weeks and months. And that's neither here nor there, other than to prove this point. I had in my mind, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to talk about. But sometimes circumstances happen, and you can't just put it out of your head. You wish you could. You wish you could just put it out of your head, be done with it, go on about your pretty little ministerial way, preach your little messages every Sunday morning, and everything just will be fine.
Oh, yeah.
But it don't happen that way.
That's right.
But I'm here to tell you, nothing happens that's out of the out of the scope of it relating to God's truth.
Exactly.
I didn't just happen to be preaching what I was preaching at that time by circumstance. Now, there are times when God's people, I won't do that, I have that out for a reason. There are times when God's people are intimidated, or at least people try to do these things. They may or may not succeed. That's not, doesn't really matter whether they succeed. The problem is this attempt to do this to God's people. Sometimes God's people are intimidated, maybe sometimes try to put to shame. They're shamed. Sometimes they may be even threatened. And sadly, this don't always come from the world. As we think of the world, you know, them out there, the enemy. You know, you remember our Lord said, "Get thee away from me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God." Who did he say that to?
Exactly. Yeah.
Do we comprehend that?
That's exactly right.
That sometimes the enemy is our own friend.
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah. Not because the friend is an enemy, if they're really a friend. But God, in his sovereign purpose, allows sometimes even the friend to be moved by the enemy.
That's true. Exactly.
Now, what most people want to know, are they really a friend or an enemy? That's what most people would want me to preach about, right? You know why we do that. You know why we want that.
Yeah.
So if that ever happens to me, I can say, well, at least that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm one of God's. Everything's okay.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, huh? Ain't that why we want that answer?
Yeah.
See, the facts are there. A person who is a friend can end up being motivated by the enemy.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Christ said to Peter?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Get thee behind me, Satan.
That's what he said.
But who was he talking to when he said that? He's talking to Peter.
That's right.
So sometimes God's people are intimidated, threatened. Sometimes but people try to put them to shame. As the old saying is, I don't know whether it's a proverb or not, but you know, you give anybody enough rope, sooner or later, you know what they do? They hang themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They finally get to the core of the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Now, generally, people will begin, when they're upset, they will begin by criticizing people. Because it's easy, and I know, because I've been there, it's easy for this sinner to criticize another sinner. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's easy for me to point my finger at you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's pretty easy. The problem is, when you become angry, eventually we quit pointing our finger at other people and we start pointing our fingers at what the true problem is.
Exactly.
Okay? Now I have a text here that was sent to me. It was sent at 5 a.m. in the morning. Needless to say, I'm pretty much asleep. You know? The text begins, "One more thing, preacher." Automatically, I hope you realize if somebody says one more thing, that means they've said other things.
Yeah.
That's understandable, right? Well, I think, as I've already pointed out, when somebody is angry, they generally, it's probably, I don't know what the percentage is, but I figure it's well over 90. They always begin by criticizing other people. So I read this text, "One more thing, preacher." And yes, I'm going to read it to you like it is. I'm going to read it to you exactly as it says it right here. Because there's a time to keep your mouth shut. There's a time to take criticism and let it go. To ask God to give you the grace to let it flow off your back as much as possible, just like water off a duck's back. But if God in His providence is pleased to give somebody enough rope to take that rope all the way and then make a true manifestation, there comes a time when you have to say something. One more thing, preacher. Pilate was purposed. We're talking Pilate, right?
Pontius Pilate.
Pilate was purposed. Pharaoh was purposed. Everybody agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Here's the next statement. "But I don't believe your homo kid was." Anybody here think God's not in absolute sovereign control of everything and everybody, no matter who they are or where they are? Is He in control or not?
He is.
It says, "But I don't buy." You know what that means? I don't believe that. Right? When you don't buy something, you're saying, "I don't receive it. I don't believe that." Well, here you can keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Next phrase, "Try and sell that to church." Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, according to Scripture, Proverbs says this: "God hath made all things for Himself,
amen,
even the wicked for the day of evil."
Amen.
I ain't trying to sell you nothing.
Exactly.
I'm declaring to you the free and reigning grace of God in Christ through an absolutely sovereign God who is over everything and everybody, every second of every day.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
That evil day is not judgment. It would be the only place in Scripture where God ever spoke of the day of judgment as an evil day. The day of judgment's not evil.
No.
It's going to be that day when the righteous justice and wrath of God will be manifest beyond question. The evil day is when that very wicked person is engaged in their very wickedness, doing their very wicked thing.
Exactly.
And that's what I've been preaching for the past 2 or 3 weeks. That no matter where I am as God's child, even the person who wrote this did it because God Almighty purposed it be done.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
I don't care whether it's your family after the flesh or it's my family after the flesh. They are in God Almighty's sovereign hands. They are right now where God Almighty determined for them to be right now. And they are doing right now what God Almighty determined for them to do from before the foundation of the world. And He will either in His sovereign grace and mercy, if they're in the way of wickedness, He will draw them out by His mighty power and save them in Christ Jesus, or He will damn them.
Exactly.
Statements like this that I've just read to you are intended to threaten, intimidate, or shame God's people. But what they do is point to the real problem.
Yeah.
A lack of belief of the truth.
Yes. Exactly.
Self-righteousness. At least I ain't like that person. Let me tell you, we are like that person.
Yes, sir.
Your heart and my heart by nature is just as corrupt as any other sexual pervert.
Yes, sir. That's it.
If it wasn't for God's restraining mercy and providence, I would be a sexual predator or a child molester this very morning.
Sure. That's it.
That's the heart with which we've given. And I like what Don Fortner said. These people run out saying, we're totally depraved. That doesn't mean we're bad as we can be. Yes, we are as bad as we can be. You can't get any worse than dead in trespasses and in sins.
Exactly.
You can't get any worse than being or walking according to the prince of the power of the air. To be unregenerate is to be demon-possessed.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Is to be demon-possessed. And the only reason we're all not conducting ourselves as bad as we would is two reasons. First is the secondary thing. Then I'll give you the primary one last. First, as Don Fortner said, it's not advantageous.
Exactly.
If I thought I could truly gain from it,
yeah,
I would be anything in this world that my heart would lead me to be. And I would do. Now some of you maybe you say, well, I just never cared for that. Maybe you didn't. The only reason you didn't care for it is because God gave you the disdain for it.
Exactly.
It's not that it's not in your heart. He's kept your heart from it.
Exactly.
You see? And that's the second thing. It's God Almighty.
Amen.
It's God Almighty. You see, as David said, whether shall I go? And that's right back. Whether shall I go from thy spirit?
Exactly.
Right? Now we all kind of like that. Because it doesn't mean, wherever I go.
Oh yeah.
That's just kind of neutral. Nothing bad, right? Mm-hmm. Just wherever I go, you're there.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But look what else it says. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I, what? Run. Run away. That's what flee means, to run away. It doesn't just mean to run. It means run. It doesn't say whether shall I run. Right? It's whether shall I flee, which means to run away.
Exactly.
Right? Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? See, the glorious thing is, God is not there to meet us. As David will next say, God Almighty is right there with us the whole blessed way.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether I'm simply going, or it doesn't matter whether I'm running away. God's right there. See, that's the whole God, whether shall I flee from thy presence? It doesn't say I cannot flee to the end, and as soon as I take the first step to run, Joe, God's still right there with me.
Yeah.
Right? Again, somebody says, well, what do you do? Excusing sin? We never excuse sin. We must not excuse sin, but what if we did?
Yeah.
Who am I to give command to all of mankind?
Exactly.
You know, who am I that can actually give license to men, and then one day you stand before the Almighty and says, well, Walter said I could do that. You're more foolish than I thought you was.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Ain't that a fact?
Yeah.
And if you listen to me, you know, when it comes to something like that, you got a bad case of the I don't knows.
Yeah.
David says, no matter how far up I go or down I go, if I go to heaven or hell, right? That's what he's not talking about. I can actually go up to heaven, right? Or actually go into the grave or to that place of the damned. If we want to say he's even means that, right? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art thou. There, David says, no matter how high or low I am, right?
Yep.
You're there.
Exactly.
You're there. No matter how strong I go, that's 139, first part of verse 9. No matter how strong I go, and no matter how far away I go.
Exactly.
You're there. That's 130. That is 139. And what did I say there? Verse 9. Yeah, look at it. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, and look at it, even there shall thy right hand do what?
Yeah.
Lead me.
Amen. Exactly.
Lead me, right?
We'll be there without
you. Well, that only means if you're going in the right place. No, no, no. No, it says, if a righteous man falls seven times, he shall not be utterly cast down.
Right.
Another place it says, if he falls, he what?
Uh-huh.
He's not going to fall out of God. It says, for God upholdeth him with his hand. Is that what it says?
Yes, sir.
The righteous man fall, yet God upholdeth. That means, David, if I fall, he's right there with me.
Exactly.
I never leave God.
Exactly.
Well, you're out of God's will. Well, you're a fool.
That's
right. You're a fool. The fool has said in his heart, no God.
That's exactly it.
Not God does not exist. That's a misnomer that religion has taught. That God, that fools are atheists. Mm-mm. Our Lord said to a guy that was building barns, he said, thou fool. It doesn't say he was an atheist. He said no to God.
Exactly.
The fool has said in his heart, no God. You see, but with God, it's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
It's going to happen. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Amen.
Now, I said this before, and I am going over it again. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. Why have I been here so long? Because God's holding you there.
Exactly.
That's why. Because God, when God says move on, bless God, you're going to move on.
That's it.
I just don't believe that. That's your problem.
Yeah.
That's your problem. The squirming you're doing against God's will hurts you. It don't hurt God.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You get a snake by his neck and you put a good clamp down, he ain't going nowhere.
That's right.
And the more he wiggles, the more he hurts himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We ain't hurting God when we squirm and wiggle and cry and complain. God is not following us. God's taking us where we're going, and God's bringing us back.
Amen.
And I'm going to go even further this morning. I've already kind of said it, but I don't care who you are in this world. He's still doing that with everybody.
Yeah. Amen.
The reprobate as well as the elect.
Exactly.
And it may be to their very... Well, it will be if they're reprobate, but I'm talking about an unbelieving, unregenerate person. They may be gods, they may not be. I don't know. But every person is exactly where God Almighty purposed for them to be at this very moment, and it may be for their own damnation.
Yes, sir.
And many of them may be sitting in church buildings this morning.
That's right.
God's not following us. God's not even just there before we get there. God's taking us there. God's bringing us back. God's keeping us there if He's pleased to keep us there. Think about it. God is taking us wherever we go, and we stay there exactly as long as He decrees.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Joseph's brethren. They're out in this, kind of like what we think of as a wilderness. They're kind of away from home.
Oh, yeah.
And guess who just happens to come strolling along?
Yeah.
Joseph.
Yeah.
Huh? I can imagine Joseph getting up that morning. It doesn't tell us why he went on this stroll. But something happened in his mind. He had no idea, David, what was to befall him that day. But something, he got up and had his morning coffee, a little bit of sheep milk with it, and he decided to go on his way.
Yep.
You know where he was headed? Straight into the hands of his brethren.
Yep.
He didn't know it yet. Matter of fact, he passed right by where they could see him. Boy, that was coincidence, wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Was it?
No.
Not
quite.
Every step he took, every bug he seen that he may not have wanted to cross his path was to keep him on the right path.
Exactly.
If he seen a snake here, David, it made him turn to the right. God Almighty put that snake there. Whatever happened, he ended up right there in the hands of his brethren.
That's it.
Who said, let's kill him.
Yeah.
There's a pit over here we know about.
Yep.
We can throw him down that pit. We'll take his coat. And we'll put blood on it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to kill him ourselves. We just throw him down. Well, but first we'll go kill him. We throw him down that pit, take that back that coat, and say, Daddy, he's gone. We don't know where he's at. Yeah. Some beast killed him. Well, there was one brother. He wasn't real righteous himself, but he had a little more sense than them.
Yeah.
I think it was, which one? I done forgot which one it was. Was it Reuben? Reuben said, I'm one against 11. This is tough. I got to work this out somehow. Huh? Now I got to work this out somehow. I tell you what, let's just put him in the pit, and then let's just tell the father, our father, that everything happened. I'll go back later and get him out. Isn't that what he thought? Now see, here's even somebody trying to thwart this.
Uh-huh.
Right? And God says, no, this ain't my way. This ain't the way I purposed it. So what happens? Ultimately, they put him down in this pit, and they move off a little distance. That's just implied, but they move off a little distance, they see some Ishmaelites coming. Well, you know what? Wait a minute. Now we've been thinking about this all wrong. We can still gain our purpose. We can get rid of this dreamer, and we can make a few bucks in the process.
Exactly.
Why kill him and lose out on all this? Here comes some traitors. We're going to sell him to the Ishmaelites. You know what? It didn't happen.
That's right.
It didn't happen. While they were in this process watching the Ishmaelites, they missed the Midianites coming up somewhere from behind.
That's right.
And these Midianites happened upon the pit.
Yep. Lucky for them.
Yeah, wasn't that lucky? No. Every move. Every move here, even the ones that seem to thwart or not thwart, every move is God Almighty's ordained sovereign purpose.
Yes, sir.
And the Midianites come over here and discover Joseph. They snatch him up out of the pit and sell him to the Ishmaelites. His brethren didn't get a dime.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, it's hard. I won't put it at least that way. It's hard to profit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're one of God's people. It's hard to profit in your rebellion against God.
Exactly.
Now, I ain't saying every time you make a dollar, you can say, well, that's an okay dollar. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's hard.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, they did profit.
Yes, they did.
Did they not?
Yes, sir.
Because all of that transpired for God Almighty to send Joseph to Egypt and to be just one step below Pharaoh himself. And Joseph delivered that whole company of rebels.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? He delivered that whole, and every move. You see all these moves and counter moves and choices, and then those choices thrust down and other choices made. All of this happened according to the sovereign hand of Almighty God. And no matter where Joseph was, God was always right there with him.
Amen.
And no matter where Reuben was, God was always right there with him. And no matter where the other 10 were, God was always right there with them.
Yes, sir.
Was he not?
Yes, sir.
I've always read this one. This amazed me this morning, and I knew, I said, I know I've read it before, there's more there. But my mind, that's been questioned a lot lately, but my memory wasn't serving me right. Well, you remember this when I've quoted it to you. Genesis chapter 50. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. This is Joseph now speaking to his brethren. This will sound familiar to you probably. But as for you, ye thought evil against me.
Yes, sir.
But God meant it unto good. Now let's notice a couple things here. First of all, he did not say, ye thought evil against me, but God turned it to good.
Nope.
Now that would still be true.
Oh yeah.
Because we do see God turning things, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to sell him to the Ishmaelites. Midianites come in behind him, snatch him up. They sell him to the Ishmaelites.
Yep.
But as for you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. They're very evil thoughts. Was ordained of God Almighty.
Amen.
Somebody said that makes God the author of sin. Who put you in charge of what that means?
Exactly.
That's huh? It. Where?
Yeah, exactly.
Where does that say that in the Scripture? People need to quit being so stupid and ignorant. They need to bow to the Word of God and more bow to God.
There you go.
Bow down to God. Look at what it says. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive.
Amen.
So they did benefit after all, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Isn't it true all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Even when we make our missteps.
Yes, sir.
Even when we sin.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Is that too strong?
No, that's true.
Or is that the truth?
That's
the truth.
Amen.
And that means all of us.
Yeah.
Not just me, not just Joe, not just the deacons. Not just this one or that one. That means every child of God, even when that child of God happens to be, for a momentary time, the enemy.
That's right.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah.
You mean, how do you think Joseph felt when his brothers did this to him right at first?
Yeah.
Huh? Now, he had some dreams, but he didn't know how them dreams will be fulfilled.
Exactly.
I figured he'd see himself sitting there in Canaan with his father around him, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Well, that all happened, but it wasn't in Canaan, was it? Where did his brothers bow down to him at?
Yeah.
You remember that dream he had,
yes,
right?
Sir.
With the haystacks, you know?
Yeah.
Where did his brothers bow down to him at? In Egypt.
Yes, sir.
In Egypt. His brothers bowed down to him in the midst of the Gentiles.
Yes, sir.
That's a whole nother message right there.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother message right there. But let me move on by that one. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Now, I've quoted that. You probably heard that. But you know when that happened? Have you looked at that? Do you know the circumstances surrounding when he said that? Huh? That's when he was coming down to die.
Yeah.
This was a good little piece later.
Yeah.
Well, there's another chapter here. That's chapter 45. Now, when I read to you what I read to you off this machine here, it doesn't mean I'm angry or that I have hate. It means I'm saddened to the core of my soul. And as God is my witness, that's the truth. It's not anger. Because I have to bow down just like David when Shimei was up there chunking them rocks and cussing him like a dog. David's buddy said, all you got to do is say the word, I'll hack his head off.
That's right.
And David said, no, he couldn't speak this. Had God not given him the lips to speak it? Huh? But here's what amazed me as I seen this. There's, you know, Joseph telling his brethren, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. That's a marvelous statement, Mason, of Joseph bowing to the absolute sovereignty of God over everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then here's something. It's not greater than that so much, but it does kind of go beyond that. Look at it, chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph, look at it, made himself known unto his brethren. Now, how do you think he did that?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about how Joseph proved to them who he was? He showed to them the sign of the covenant. They'd already stood before him. They'd seen him face to face. He wasn't dressed up in garb made up in some clown's face, was he? He showed them the sign of the covenant. I'm like you are. Do you know what I'm talking about? He was circumcised. That's what he made everybody else leave.
Yeah.
You think this is Joseph, one under Pharaoh. You think he'd give a flip if the other people knows who he is? They will find out sooner or later. Right? He made everybody else leave so he'd have secrecy to show his brethren, I'm like you. Yeah. Now here's what's amazing. No matter what they've done to him, he's still going to show them in the most... Can you imagine what that's like? You say, well, I don't know that it did that. Well, you go ahead. There's only one way for Joseph to prove that he's like they are. Yeah. All right, I'll move on from that. Simply because it doesn't come right out and tell us. But look, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. Why do you think so? Huh? For they were troubled at his presence, wouldn't you be? Huh? And verse 4, and Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, I want you to look at this next phrase, folks. This is grace. This is mercy.
Yeah.
This is compassion. Because this is not where he said, you meant evil. God meant it for good. What's his first response to them when he shows them who he really is?
Yeah.
Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Whew. Have you ever been there? It's easy for me to point my fingers at you. And it's easy for other people to point their fingers at me or at you. But when God reveals himself to us in the person of his Son and what we have done to him, and he says, come near. Don't be grieved. I'm your kin. Don't be angry with yourself. Do you not see grace there?
Yes,
I'm preaching more than Joseph. I'm preaching Christ. You see? We all deserve to have our heads lopped off.
Exactly.
If I'd have been there, I'd have probably been right in the midst of the most nasty Roman crowd there was of that day. And because of some of my former days, I'd have been back there whooping and yelling in the background. You know, we're just killing three more murderers. You know, that's where I'd have been. Now, maybe you wouldn't have been. Maybe you'd have been right up front.
Exactly.
With those women. I don't know. Maybe whether you was in the back with the loud crowd or in the front with the loud crowd. A lot of people had things to say about Christ that day, didn't they? But the problem is, if I'd have been there and I had to have been without the Spirit of God, I'd have been just like those people were. And in a very true sense, my Lord was there because of me.
Yes, sir.
And our Lord was there because of you.
Yes, sir.
And he went through that hell to save many souls alive.
Amen.
And when he finally, well, we'd be right up next to him for years, eating of his bounty and his blessing, and we don't recognize him. He's right there. He's not hiding himself somehow. We're just so blind.
Exactly.
We can't recognize him. But then finally, he says, it's me.
Yeah.
Huh? And we recognize him. And you know what happens? You become troubled.
Exactly.
Now, amen. When you think you first met Jesus and you don't remember being troubled, you better rethink your first meeting with Jesus.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Because just like Joseph's brethren, when they first met him, they had reason to be troubled.
Yeah.
And when we first met Christ, we had reason to be troubled.
Yes, sir.
But our hope was not in us.
Yeah.
It was in our Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life.
Amen.
Whose? Was he? Was God, did God send him there particular just for the Egyptians? No. It's for these very men right here.
Yes, sir.
And every child they had and every one of their progeny. They went after them. Do we not see here what David said? No matter where I go, no matter how hard I go, how high I go, how low I go, whether even if I'm running away,
mm-hmm.
you're right there with me.
Amen.
Leading me. Holding me. As I tried to say, there are times when I get angry. And there's times when I felt wrath. But I know this, the wrath of man doesn't praise Christ.
Exactly.
It doesn't praise Christ. But I'll tell you this, even the wrath of men will praise God.
Yes, sir.
Now, whether you can comprehend and understand that or not, it will praise God. And the rest of wrath he will restrain.
Amen.
You see, this is not a matter of being angry, because you've got to be careful who you're angry with.
Boy.
Lest you be angry with one of God's friends. Be careful. Be careful. It's one thing to be angry. Just be careful how far you take that anger. Because only the day will declare.
Yeah.
The real nature of who's who and what was what. Yeah. Well, see, everything, I boil it down to this. I didn't mention it, but everything boils down to just like David said. I mean, you imagine, here's David. They've fought. They've went through enemy after enemy. They have slaughtered men. These men with David. They have slaughtered men who have come up against David.
Yes, sir.
And here's this stupid fool out there chunking rocks and cussing David.
Yep.
You think he had a chance against that group of men? And you see, that man is every one of us. Because that's what we did to God.
Oh, yeah.
And every breath that we were able to draw with the ability of our voice boxes to throw out those curse words against God Almighty, God Almighty was the very one giving us that breath and that ability.
Yes, sir.
And our Lord Jesus Christ says, no, this is God's purpose.
Yes,
and he said, basically what it boils down to, I will be honored through this.
Yes, sir. That's it.
I will be honored through this. Now, eventually that guy died.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? See, here's the whole thing. Now, I believe this. Our Lord, I forget what group of men it was now. I think it was when they first came to take him. Now, if I'm wrong on that, I'm wrong. But he told somebody, he said, I could call 10,000 angels. I could put a stop to this thing.
Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't his will.
Exactly.
His will was to go through that hell for us. To suffer that death for us, to shed his blood for us, that in doing so, he might save much people alive. And sometimes, you would think, as glorious as this word is, and as glorious as God's grace is, that the first time God Almighty showed us this truth, we would so change that we would never have another trouble with each other or God himself. But the fact is, we are still so depraved,
yes,
that we will turn on one another,
oh, yeah,
until God Almighty is pleased to change it.
Exactly.
And we can be thankful for that,
yeah,
can't we?
Yeah.
Father, I pray that as we go our separate ways, we may be mindful of one another, those that are not here, those who are in difficulties and trials and troubles, as even some of we here ourselves today. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.